G'day friends, good to see you again as we explore this passage in Hebrews chapter 19. I hope you have the outline handy and I hope it's easy. With COVID-19 having spread over the world, everyone is keen to avoid getting infected. Let's just consider the steps we take to avoid being contaminated. Wash our hands, how long was that again? Social distancing. There are no sit-down meals at cafes or Maccas or anywhere. We now can't meet together to hear God's word, and we use Zoom for our meetups. If you've not got internet, you can't meet. We take all these steps to avoid being contaminated. Sin is like COVID-19 in our relationship with God. There are significant differences between sin and COVID-19. COVID-19 is a virus and it can be seen. It can be cleaned off surfaces with disinfectant. You can protect yourself from the contamination. Sin, on the other hand, cannot be seen, although its consequences can be. Anger, greed, murder, lying, gossiping, stealing, disobeying parents, ignoring the government. Sin is an attitude in my heart. Sin infects my mind, leading me to think my way is best. Sin has infected every person. Every person here, no matter what age. It's infected parents, kids, ministers, teachers. The contagion of sin leads me to believe that my life is mine to live for myself. It blinds my eyes so I cannot see God clearly. It hardens my heart and leads me to question his love and faithfulness. We all have this problem, everyone. Being infected by the contagion of sin means we have a problem. God does not have sin or sinners in heaven. There is no entry. Just like today, borders are closed. Keep COVID-19 out. God's border is closed. But God set up a pattern, clean and unclean, to help his people understand and appreciate the seriousness of sin and the importance of living by his directions. Being clean was not about hygiene. If you were clean, you could meet with God and with his people. If you were unclean, you could not meet with God or his people until you became clean. God spelt out how a person became unclean and the steps they would need to take to become clean again. The system of sacrifices is a vital step in this process and change. I'm down to the second heading on the outline sheet if you're following that. If the people became unclean, then special water was used for their cleansing. At first, it sounds a bit like unclean and being clean is like about hygiene, but it's not. Consider how this water is prepared. You read about it just now. A cow's burned, blood is added to the fire, that's important. Usually the blood sprinkled on the altar and perhaps the people. In this case, blood is added to the fire. The ashes are raked and stored. In chapter 19, verse 9, we saw that these ashes are added to water to make the water used for the purification of sin. Let's see what this is about. Being unclean is a ceremonial term. All people start out being clean, and it means they can participate in offering sacrifices and other ceremonial matters. If they become unclean, they are not allowed by God to participate in offering sacrifices. They're not allowed to enter the temple. They're not allowed to fellowship with other people. They had to be made clean first. In Numbers chapter 19, in the first three verses, God spells out how the people became unclean. Touching a dead body makes you unclean. For this reason, goes back to the Garden of Eden. What was the punishment Adam and Eve got for eating the fruit? It's death. Death is a reminder of sin and judgment. Touching a dead body brought you into close contact with the results of sin and judgment. Being unclean was a reminder that sin and death cut us off from God. We are not clean in his sight. In fact, we are guilty of rejecting him as God in our lives. In the regulations God gave his people, everyone became unclean frequently in their life. When you sinned, you became unclean. Though the word does not mean guilty, because you might not have done anything wrong. In fact, we read today that even preparing the sacrifice of the heifer and that to make the water of purification meant you were unclean for 7 days after you actually made it. You would be unclean. Being unclean often had to do with having contact with death or blood or people who are unclean. If you touch someone who was unclean, you became unclean. Well, God also gave the way to become cleansed, to be made clean again. If you did not follow these instructions, you remained unclean, and so you would be cut off from the people and you would have defiled the tabernacle. No longer treated as an Israelite, but you'd be banned from the community. God's instructions of being cleansed usually involved washing with the water of purification, waiting a time, and then washing again, and then waiting a bit longer. The blood in the water symbolises that sin or uncleanness has been dealt with. Pretty clearly, the water of cleansing could not deal with sin or death. It's a symbol. And this is emphasised with the instruction in verses 8 and 10 that after being sprinkled with this water of cleansing, they remained unclean until evening. And the purification ceremony looked forward to God doing a real purification of our sin and uncleanness, permanent purification, a purification that also cleansed your conscience so you no longer feel guilty because your guilt has been dealt with. Hebrews chapter 10 shows us this real purification. And we're going to pause now as Andrew reads Hebrews chapter 10 for us. The writer of this passage is reflecting on the regulations and instructions in Numbers and Leviticus. Let's listen to Hebrews chapter 10. Friends, God gave us the Old Testament to point us to Jesus, and the Old Testament's fulfilled by him. And this passage in Hebrews chapter 10 picks up the Old Testament regulations and instructions. And Numbers chapter 19 explained how the Israelites could be cleansed from sin. Hebrews chapter 10 shows us the sacrifice which cleanses. That's point 3 on the outline. In Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 12, we see when the ceremony becomes reality. The writer explains that the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. That Numbers chapter 19 is just a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. And for this reason, he says, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near for worship, for the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have been guilty for their sins. But those whose sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. The sacrifices and the water for purification were signs pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus, helping us see how Jesus' death would truly deal with sin and judgment. So in Hebrews chapter 10, we see the significance then of Jesus' death. We sang in our first song that Jesus has conquered death. And in verse 10 of this passage, we see the writer says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. We have been made holy or clean or acceptable to God by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ. Something real has happened to you because of Jesus' death on your behalf. You have been made holy. You are clean. Jesus' death truly dealt with sin and judgment. He paid our debt in full, and so we are purified and clean. That's a good word to use to describe our state before God. Clean. cleansed by the blood of the sinless Saviour. Sometimes your sin makes you feel filthy, your conscience contaminated. We feel repulsive, especially in God's sight. How could a holy God look on me? The evil one will drag up your sins and try to show you and remind you of your guilt. He will assault you and lead you to doubt God's forgiveness. But here we see that the sinless Saviour has cleansed you. You've been purified. Your conscience has been cleansed, not by your deeds, but by the death of the Lord Jesus. His death has set you free. His blood has washed you clean. When the devil tries to persuade you that you are guilty, when you feel that guilt, remind yourself, cling to the truth that your guilt has been paid for. Because of Jesus, we then are clean. That's the fourth point in the heading here. It's his gift of purification to us, his gift of wholeness. For those of us who have come to Christ and given our lives to him, we can rejoice in having a cleansed conscience. It's his gift of your cleansing, deep cleansing, cleansing which goes deep into our conscience. Here is a balm for the most guilty conscience, cleansed by none other than guilt of God himself. Your filth, your guilt wiped away, your heart renewed, and he has put his spirit in you. He has brought you home. There is really only one way then to respond, having a thankful heart. And if you see your sin and realize your guilt, then grasp tightly to the forgiveness and the cleansing that God has given you. The more clearly you see your sin, the more brilliantly you will see your cleansing. And so the more joyfully you will respond to your God who has saved you. Let his cleansing thrill your heart and refresh your soul. Let your heart burst with thankfulness to him, the lover of your soul. So when we sing, let your heart rejoice. When you speak with friends, let them see your joy in Christ. And so with such gladness of heart in all that God has done for us, of course we'll long to put sin to death in our life where we see it. Since Jesus has cleansed me, since he's made me part of his people, I cannot keep on living for myself or my desires. That's what made me guilty in his sight. Now he's brought me home to live with him forever. And instead of being in charge of my own life, I want to follow Jesus as Lord. And so I am to put my selfish desires to death. Now we live for him. Anyone in Christ will think that way. The writer of Hebrews is writing to some Christians who have been living for Christ for some time now. Life, though, has become a real struggle. Remaining Christian has become a challenge. Is that where you're at the moment? Do you wonder, why bother? It's just easier to go with the flow. The devil is deceitful. He'll aim to persuade you that it's not worth the effort. The writer reminds us, God does not have sin or sinners in his heaven. He has cleansed people there, people cleansed by the blood of his son. If you're feeling tired in the Christian life, come again to the cross. Remind yourself that the sinless Saviour gave his life for you. He has cleansed you, so you will share life with him forever. Refresh your commitment to live for him. As we heard this writer say last week, do not throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are of those who believe and are saved. Let's pray, shall we? I'll lead us in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for your powerful cleansing you accomplished for us through the death of Jesus. Thank you for dealing with our guilty conscience and cleansing us, giving us a heart that yearns to submit to you as our Lord and Saviour. We are sorry for those times when we've turned our back on living for you. Please forgive us and give us hearts which long to put sin to death and to live for you. In times of doubt and when we feel overwhelmed by guilt, please remind us that your blood has cleansed us and made us holy. And so we ask, use us for your glory, that we may show Christ to the world. Amen. Thanks, friends. See you next time.